one of the things I love about fantasy football and fantasy sports in general is that there's no one way to win. Everything we do to develop a strategy and then execute on that strategy is often in tiny increments, or at least that's what I find is really helpful. I'm trying to get 1% smarter here. I'm trying to increase my probability of winning by 2% there. And over time, if you do that, you have a good chance of winning your title. That's been my experience. One of the things I like to do to get a slight advantage or a slightly better understanding of where I want to rank players and where to find value and where to fade players so that I don't destroy my value, is to look at each team and identify who is ascending and who is descending. Oftentimes by age, sometimes it's based on statistical probabilities, the Christian McCaffrey example from last year, which I've said before. And then understand also the changes to that roster. So the example I want to give today for a few minutes is the Arizona Cardinals. Last year, James Conner was the RB15 in points per game. He is back. He is the bell cow. He had like 283 touches, most he's had since his sophomore year of college. He has been deliberately, kind of like Aaron Jones until last year. The Packers did an amazing job of this, of limiting the reps of their star running backs. I really think something should be said or written, and maybe I'm just saying it now and we'll leave it at that, about the continuity of a team continuing to understand, it seems, from the outside looking in, that you can't just give someone 350 touches and expect them to be on your team for a long time. Arizona signed Connor to a multi-year contract. They have been keeping him well under 300 touches for pretty much every season. Last year, he and even when he's been hurt, they limit his reps per game. It's a savvy move, but he is 30 years old, so I would put him in the descending category. It's clear that he's not ascending. Maybe he's standing pat at 30, and maybe he's the next Frank Gore Sr., and he can just keep going until he's 32, 33, and then kind of start to fade, whatever it is. Trey Benson is behind him. Trey Benson is back. Trey Benson is ascending. There is a sense, there is an understanding based on reports and just based on logic that the much younger Benson will take on a slightly larger share this year. Again, assuming full health for everybody. Marvin Harrison Jr. is ascending. He is back from last year. He was valued much higher in ADP last season. People thought I think he was ranked significantly higher than Malik Nabers. It didn't pan out. And so we see his ADP now, in my opinion, depressed. Benson's ADP for running backs is 49, for example. So these are two guys ascending with surprisingly low, but not, when you think about it, all that surprisingly low ADPs. Then there's Michael Wilson. He is back. A good young receiver, maybe on another team, not someone you want to target, but he's the number two, presumably. Harrison's ADP is 19. Wilson's is 93. So the number two wide receiver on this team has a ranking of 93. Doesn't make sense. I go back to the logic of, well, somebody has to be 93. That's always the case. Like, where do you put him if you push him up to 70? I would push him to 70. I would push him inside that. It's clear to me that with a 30-year-old Zay Jones behind him and spot starter Greg Dortch behind him, that there is room for someone like Michael Wilson to continue to ascend in an offense where the only locked-in receiver who basically you can bank on based on, a brief history, but a proven history is Trey McBride. So it's a similar to me a little bit to what the Vikings have with a great tight end, although McBride you could argue is better. I get it. Hockenson at his best is just as good. Where you have Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, you have Marvin Harrison Jr., who to me has the same upside as Justin Jefferson. Marvin Harrison Jr. has the potential to be a perennial top five receiver in this league. And then you have Michael Wilson, who, might not be at a Jordan Addison level, but would we be surprised if he finishes as the WR50? I wouldn't be. So, and then you have Kyler Murray, and Kyler Murray is this, kind of enigmatic, quarterback, at times brilliant, at times hurt, at times, underwhelming. But the fact is Kyler Murray is Arizona's franchise quarterback. There is no risk that he's going to be benched. So the stability that you have at that position is actually really important. If you are investing in Saints receivers, to do a dramatic example, but even Giants receivers, I mean, the change from Russell Wilson that seems inevitable to Jackson Dart will have some kind of impact. It might be great from Blake Neighbors and Wandell Robinson. It might be initially a little bit challenging. We don't know. The consistency that we would expect from Kyler Murray across a full season, again, providing he's healthy, is what allows us to be more confident about ascending players. So you've got Harrison, Wilson, and Benson. Young, ascended. Connor, 30 years old, somehow an ADP of 19. Well, he's got to be somewhere, and if he's 25, people are going to say he's a bargain, he's the starter. It doesn't make sense to me. The 19 is because, and this happens all the time, because he was 15th in fantasy points per game last year at running back, and because he is descending, we see this with a lot of players, there will be a slight drop in their ADP compared to their fantasy output the year before. If he were ascending, then we might see his ADP at 13 or 12. That's kind of how it works. That's where the group mind settles consistently year after year. And at some point, maybe if I keep doing this podcast, maybe I'll drop a one next March or April or something like that and just run down the predictions of every ADP of like the top 50 players and then some other ones. And we'll see how close I get, because I feel pretty confident that we can project what the market is going to think based on what happened the previous year and their age and their injury history. And then the final part is any new additions or subtractions from the team. So it doesn't make sense to me that Harrison is the WR19. That's a clear gap. Michael Wilson at 93 is people just ignoring Michael Wilson, which happens a lot. And so we can seize on that, especially in best ball, deep best ball leagues or deep leagues in general. And then Benson at RB49 is kind of a I don't want to say, I was going to be harsh about it and just say, like, what are people thinking? People are thinking smart things. To me, I think there's an 80 to 90% chance that Benson, on a per game basis, because we can't account for injuries, will exceed RB49. Connor, coming off the biggest workload since his sophomore year of college, the fact that he is declining, in my opinion, that last year was the apex. He really dominated last year. I couldn't believe it. It was very impressive. I don't see him getting those touches again. I don't see him being that efficient again. That is where you spot the bargains. You can isolate it, not just across, like, well, let's look at three players at this position across three different teams. Make it easier for yourself. Focus on one team. Focus on a handful of players. Ignore, if you can, the guys that don't interest you. I don't know where Kyler Murray really falls, so I'm okay putting him aside. I know Trey McBride is expected to be good. I'll put him aside. I'm just going to focus on the three guys who seem to me to be significantly or moderately undervalued. And then I rank them there the way I think that they're going to be, and I stick to it. I don't go in the draft. I don't sit there and say, well, it's 60 wide receivers off the board in my deep league, and I want to take this guy whose ADP is 61. No, if you think Michael Wilson is a top 60 receiver, you pounce. If he's the number two in a receiving core, in a wideout core, the probability that he'll be top 60 is much better than him being outside the top 90. So you do that for each team. And some teams, it's very murky. You don't really know where to size it up. But you can find the bargains. I mean, Dalton Schultz in Houston, to me, kind of is an example of that bargain. Last year, I've mentioned this before, Wandell Robinson and Rashad Bateman independently, just looking at each of those teams and understanding the gaps and what could be filled. The fact that in Baltimore, there was no good number three wide receiver, and Bateman was an ascending talent. Wandell Robinson ascending in a team with no good number three wide receiver. So you get these gaps that you can backfill and target where the bargains are. If you have any questions, reach out anytime at my Gmail. This is, again, BJ Riddell. Follow me on the blog. Sign up for the rankings if you want, and we'll see you tomorrow.